Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Welcome to the Glass Half Empty podcast on The Big Lead. I'm Ryan Glasspiegel. We are joined by James Jones, the former Packers and Raiders wide receiver, who is now an NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at 89JonesMTAF, and you can see James throughout the week on NFL Network's NFL Total Access at 7 p.m. Eastern. So, James, I can't help but notice, nobody can help but notice, you've been coming for the Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter corner the last few weeks. You've broken free agency news on Jordy Nelson, Tremont Williams, Morgan Burnett, and Ryan Grant. When did you decide that you wanted to start going after these scoops?
First off, man, I can't even use the same tool as Ian Rappaport. But no, man, it just so happened that all these guys that came out in free agency, man, I'm extremely close with. I mean, I played with Morgan Burnett and Tremont Williams. Me and Morgan Burnett, we take trips every year together, once a year, you know. Me and Jordy Nelson are extremely close, been close for the last 10 years. And it's like a little brother of mine, you know, my Hulk, even when he was at Tulane, you know, I used to, you know, train with him as well. So he's like my little brother. So once I broke, you know, I with them and I said, you know what, it would be cool, you know, to break my other dude's news as well, too. So I reached out to them, you know, and just, you know, like, hey, man, let me break it. And they were like, absolutely.
So I assume, given that you're now in this line of work, you are actively tracking the Aaron Rodgers contract situation. Is that accurate?
Well, no, I'm not tracking it at all because, you know, me and him got a little Wolfpack deal too, you know what I'm saying? So he'll let me know what I need to know when I need to know it.
Oh, so he's just like, you're going to get the scoop. I've got you, but I can't be giving you minute by minute updates.
Well, see, I'm not the minute-by-minute dude, you know what I mean? If he calls me and say, hey, look, man, I'm about to sign, you know, 3 years, $300 million, you know what I mean? Here, you ready to break it? I'm like, cool, I'll break it. But, no, I'm not calling him every day like, hey, what's talk about today? No, I'm not doing all that. But me and Aaron Rodgers are, you know, kind of like Jordy Nelson. We're extremely close, you know what I mean? We communicate a lot. We talk a lot, you know. Him and my oldest son, you know, are like best friends, so you know I'm always still playing football and all that. Him and my little son are close, so we always communicate. So I always tell people, yeah, wait for the Aaron Rodgers news, but I don't know if I'm gonna break it or not.
So switching from a reporter to an analyst, do you think that deal gets done this offseason? I know they wanted to wait for the Kirk Cousins deal to get done so somebody doesn't just come in right behind him and become the highest paid quarterback again. But at the same time, he's got 2 years left on his deal. And it's like the Green Bay Press Gazette did a good job on this a couple days ago about kind of the risks and rewards of extending him. What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, I think it'll be good to get him done, you know, because even though he has 2 years left, if you get him done and, you know, give him what deserves, I think from that standpoint on, then you can get him whatever he needs to win some more Super Bowls. You know what I'm saying? So I think the earlier the better, because now you can start getting those players around him that he needs and not have to worry about getting our quarterback locked up so we can't get this guy, can't get that guy because this guy's come, because our quarterback's coming up next year, you know? So I think it'll be good to get him done now. And then, you know, however many years it is, you know, he finishes his career out in Green Bay, but you're able to get him all the pieces he needs to be successful on offense and defense to win a Super Bowl.
The Packers basically replace Jordy Nelson with Jimmy Graham. Do you think that that's fair to say?
I don't know if that's fair to say because, I mean, it's two totally different positions. Now, if we're talking about money-wise, you know, what Jimmy Graham's getting a year and what Jordy's getting a year, yeah. But, you know, it's a different position. It's a position that the Packers needed. Whenever our offense was super explosive, we always had an explosive tight end. You know what I mean? Athletic tight end that we can move to the house, keep in the slot, that can block. And that's what Jimmy Graham brings to the offense. Explosive guy. It's in Jordy, no. You know, but did they get a guy that they need? Yes.
And how did you feel about their releasing Jordy? Because there were tweets from David Bakhtiari said something like, loyalty isn't your rhetoric, loyalty is your actions. Some people thought that that was about a Martellus Bennett quote. Some people thought it was about how they were treating Jordy. When you saw that tweet, what do you think it was about?
You know what, I didn't really read in too much of that tweet because, like I said, I was talking to Jordy. So, I mean, I really didn't need to read anybody's tweets or anything like that because I know exactly what happened and, you know, how Jordy felt and what Jordy tried to do to play a Green Bay Packer. And, you know, obviously it didn't work out. And, you know, we all know, Jordy included, we all know the business that we're in. There is no loyalty, whether you like it or not. You know what I'm saying? You would hope it would be more, but there, you know, when it feels like it's your time, then, you know, James Jones played through this injury for us back 4 years ago for less money for us. So now show some loyalty and keep him for, you know, some more years. That's not going to happen. And Jordy, but just me knowing this, I don't even want to get into the whole situation, what happened when Jordy met with, but, you know, all I'm going to say is they could have kept him, and he wanted to, it sucks that, you know what I mean, it happened the way it happened.
This three-person power structure with Mark Murphy, Mike McCarthy, and Brian Gutekunst seems really weird. It feels like with Ted Thompson gone, Murphy and McCarthy picked up some more power, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. How do you feel about it?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know how much power they picked up because I'm a firm believer in if Mike had more power, Jordy would still be there. So I really don't know how things are getting ran over there or who has this power or who has that power. I don't know. Because me being around Mike loves his players. Mike knows what his players are. You know what I mean? And I don't think Jordy's out of there. So has a lot to say so. I could be wrong. But, you know, from an outsider looking in, I don't think Mike truly has, you know, a lot to say so. What happens like with free agents and released, I don't know.
We'll get back to the Packers in a second, but in the 2015 camp, you were on the Giants, you were around Odell Beckham, Eli Manning. You didn't end up staying the season there, but I'm interested, how do you feel about everything that's going on with Odell Beckham right now? Do you think the Giants should trade him? Do you think they should extend him? Do you think that they should let this season play out and hope he doesn't hold out? What do you think they should do?
Well, number one, I definitely don't think you should trade him. Odell Beckham, kind of once in a generation type wide receivers, and got out of your building, and you know, not have a backup plan for that. See if you wanted to trade Odell Beckham, and there was a Calvin Johnson in the draft, but we don't have that. There's not that in the draft this year. So basically, you're trading your best player on your football team away, and you're going to replace him, basically a guy that can't do the things that he can do. So basically your football team got worse. And then we all know Eli Manning's going to play, what, one or two more years, everybody's saying. And so the Giants need to draft a quarterback in the first round for his replacement. Well, the best thing for a young quarterback is to have a big-time weapon on the outside that can make it easier for him. And I'm not even necessarily saying easier for him as catching the ball, but easier for him drawing double teams, knowing how coverage is going to play you guys because you got a big-time weapon like Odell Beckham. And, you know, I know a lot of people want to look at the off-the-field stuff, but, man, people get on the field. There's so many dudes that got paid for doing so much worse than Odell Beckham has done. And you get paid for what you've done on the field. And what he's done on the field, he deserves his money. And he's the best player on that team. Really not. They should not trade him. They should keep him. And they should pay him.
So you don't buy into the idea that some of these things like the Miami boat trip or showing up in a viral video with drugs or getting penalized for, like, mimicking a dog peeing on a fire hydrant or, like, tackling the goal, the, like, kicking net or whatever. You don't buy into the idea that some of those things are destructive to a team?
I mean, I'm not saying that some of them are not destructive, but I'm saying I'm not one of those guys who looks at a video and automatically thinks, okay, boom, this is what's going on, because I don't know what he was doing in that room, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not just sitting up here defending Odell, you know what I'm saying? But in that locker room, everybody know how passionate he is as well. Now, some of the things that he's done, stupid, but you got to realize that he's a young man too, just college, got so much in New York City, blew up off of that big time catch, you know what I mean? And his whole world just really got flipped upside down. And to me, he's still out there trying to live his life like a little kid, but everybody wants him to hurry up and be an adult and be mature. And now remember, he's 20, in his 20s, you know, really just getting started, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's hard because he still wants to live life and have fun, and everybody know he likes to have fun and dance and all that type of stuff, but since he's Odell, he shouldn't be in the club, he shouldn't be doing all this. I mean, my thing is let the young man, and I've played with a lot of receivers who want to go and, you know, do these and do that, but, I mean, you don't have to go with him. You know what I'm saying? Dude, I'm not going on a boat trip with you, Odell. We got a playoff game coming, and I'm going to chill out, recover, get my body right and play. I mean, and get ready to play. So it's not necessarily saying that. I mean, shoot, there's grown men in the locker room. You don't got to follow this dude.
I understand what you're saying. Let's get back to your career with the Packers. So you played in 2007. That was your rookie year. It was Brett Favre's last year. And then they had the transition to Aaron Rodgers. And I'm wondering, how would you compare and contrast what it was like to be in a huddle with Favre versus what it was like to be in a huddle with Rodgers, who you played most of your career with?
I mean, Brett and Aaron are two completely different guys. What I will say is similar to both of them is they're both perfectionists, you know. So when you get in a huddle with them two dudes, you know that they want every play to be perfect. They want every throw to be perfect. They want to make the right decision, you know, all the time. And when you get in a huddle, you understand how competitive they are and how much the game means to them. And you know, just having an opportunity to play with both those guys, man, it kind of helped me in the sense, you know, of a way to how to approach the game as well. If we're talking about, you know, what they bring and, you know, their type of games, I mean, it's two different players as well, too. You know, I think Brett Favre is special, but really ever seen anybody like Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I truly think he is the GOAT, whether he wins one Super Bowl or whether he wins 20, just by, you know, the things that he's done on the football field and the things that we've seen. But, you know, two unbelievable guys in the huddle, man. I mean, being in the huddle with them, I mean, it's hard to explain because it's similar and it's different at the same time. But when you get in the huddle, man, you know that, you know, they're perfectionists and they want everything to be the right way.
In 2009, the year Favre was on the Vikings after he had spent a year with the Jets, they get to the NFC title game there were a lot of people in Green Bay who were really questioning at the time whether it was the right decision to keep Aaron Rodgers over Favre. I'm wondering, though, in that 2009 NFC title game between the Vikings and the Saints, who are you rooting for? Are you rooting for Favre, your former teammate, or are you rooting against him because now he's on one of your division rivals?
Man, to be honest with you, I do not remember who I was rooting for, man. I really didn't.
I know what I was rooting for. I was rooting for the Saints.
I really didn't care who won, you know what I mean? Because me being around Aaron and being around Brett, I knew the Packers had made the right decision. So even if Brett went on and won the Super Bowl, I wouldn't have been one of those guys looking like, dang, man, we made the wrong decision by letting Brett out of here. No. You know, different things happen each year, but I do know that Aaron Rodgers is a special quarterback. So I know that the Packers made the right decision by letting him, you know, get under the center and take over this team. He's one of those guys. And we've seen that in practice. We've seen that in preseason. We knew he was going to be special. I'll never forget when the whole thing was going on. You know, my family, you know, a lot of outsiders are like, man, they stupid for letting Brett Favre go. And I'm just looking at them like, don't worry. We're okay. Do not worry. We're gonna be just as good, if not better. Do not worry. We got a kid behind him that's good. And at the time, they're like, man, you stupid, man. Ain't nobody Brett Favre. But we knew. Like, okay, just wait and see.
And, okay, so you guys, everything was okay. You won a Super Bowl. But after that, I'm interested in what hurts more as a player, losing a really close game like that NFC title game against the Seahawks. We've got a lead in the fourth quarter, and they come from behind through a series of, like, just insane events. Or is just getting – what's worse, that or getting stomped by the 49ers where Colin Kaepernick is running for 45,000 yards and there's nothing anybody can do about it and you lose by multiple touchdowns?
Man, losing period sucks, man, especially in the playoffs, man. It really doesn't matter how you lose. And it's crazy you ask that question because I remember, you know, in overtime to the Giants in 2007 on a last second field goal, and that, you know, hurt to my gut. I'm like, man, I'll never forget. And then I'll never forget losing a couple years later to the Giants where Hakeem Nicks caught that Hail Mary.
At the half, it was brutal.
Yeah.
You know, the Packers, they had a real chance to win that game. You had a real chance to win that game. And I was sitting in the Lambeau stands for that. There was a play where Rodgers had Jordy Nelson streaking wide open down the left sideline. And at the very last second, OCU Mignola knocked the ball out of his hands. That was going to be a touchdown, and it was like a one-score game at that point. And I think, man, the Packers somehow win that game if that play doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember all the plays that happened. I just remember being on the field, and it was probably, you know, 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and we had the ball, and we're just on the field. I think we were down by maybe maybe it might have been 17 points. I think we were down or something like that. I don't remember. But whatever the situation was, I mean, we were on the field and we knew it was over. You know what I mean? We knew that wasn't no Hail Mary going to get it done. Wasn't no score and kick an onside going to get it done. We knew it was over. And just that feeling, knowing that, dang, it's over. You know what I'm saying? Even though it ain't coming down to the last seconds, hurt just as bad.
You know what's weird is I think that team that you're talking about that lost the game to the Giants at Lambeau, they were 15-1 in the you were 15-1 in the regular season. I think that team was actually a better team than the Super Bowl winning season, but
absolutely, and that's what hurt so bad too.
I know you're up against the clock. Is there anything that we didn't talk about either in your transition to media or free agency or the Packers that you want to discuss right now?
No, man, I'm good, man.
Alright, thank you, James. Appreciate the time. Hopefully we can do this right after you get the Aaron Rodgers contract news.
Sounds good, man.
Alright, thanks. Have a great rest of the week.
You too.
Bye.
I don't notice you. Familiar touch turns stranger. Will you notice if I don't notice you? Familiar touch turns stranger.